This is LabCast, insights and ideas for the expansion stage senior manager, hosted by OpenView Labs.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of LabCast. I'm Kevin Kane, and today we'll be talking about content strategy with Michael Brenner. Michael is the author of B2B Marketing Insider, a blog dedicated to sharing ideas, topics, and marketing strategies that drive real results like sales, leads, and higher customer loyalty. He's also the co-founder of the social news site Business to Community and serves as Senior Director of Global Integrated Marketing for SAP, the worldwide leader in enterprise software and software-related services. Thanks for joining us today, Michael.
Yeah, thanks. It's my pleasure.
So as I mentioned before, Mike, we're looking to talk about content strategy today and really content marketing more at large. And so one thing I've noticed recently is that we're seeing a lot of bigger firms get involved with content marketing. A recent example that comes to mind for me is Coca-Cola. I know that they've just launched a content marketing strategy, and that's been a real shift to priority for them. Obviously, it's on a lot of people's radars, but I wanted to get your opinion. You know, is content marketing and having a content strategy something that every company and corporation needs, or is it something more specific and targeted?
Yeah, and it's a really good question. A similar and related question people often ask is, isn't content marketing just another name for marketing? And the answer is actually, you know, yes and no. So to directly answer your question, I do think every company needs a content marketing strategy. And the reason for that is that marketing as it exists today, and if you ask a non-marketer, you know, like a business owner or a salesperson, or even somebody off the street, when you say marketing, they think promotion, and promotion quickly leads into thoughts about spam and, you know, negative connotations around junk mail and all kinds of things like that. And sure. And so that's really the problem that content strategy tries to address, is that, number one, there's just way too many messages in the marketplace for anyone to really, you know, to be effective. You really have to flood the marketplace with lots of messaging, and you know, large organizations spend a lot of money to do that. But it's becoming more and more obvious that those kinds of approaches are just simply not effective. And so what a content strategy does is it seeks to sort of turn the tables and to say, okay, instead of focusing on the promotional messages we want to push, let's focus on the kinds of content that our audience is looking for in all of the places they're looking, and all of the different types of our buyers or consumers or whatever kind of company you might have, and really try to make sure that we're delivering the content that meets their needs. And so that's the difference between content strategy or content marketing strategy and marketing. And so, you know, the way I answer the marketing to content marketing question is that it is a different thing right now, because unfortunately most marketing is really quite ineffective. But content strategy will hopefully bridge the gap so that marketing in the future will be much more targeted, much more directed at the audience, and then the business outcomes flow much more effectively from that.
Sure. So kind of taking off that point, you know, it sounds like content marketing and content strategy is pretty important for everyone. What kind of general advice can you offer companies of all sizes to kind of get going if they're not already in a position where they've got a content strategy in place?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest obstacle that every company or every individual marketer that I talk to faces is always it's in the way that they think. And some people call it campaign brain. You know, some people call it the spam cannon of marketing. But ultimately, it's about changing the mindset of the corporation and of the marketing strategy to be customer focused. So, you know, the biggest, I think, advice I would give is just start thinking about the audience that you're trying to meet or to capture or to deliver content to, and think about what their needs are over the needs of your own organization and the products that you're trying to promote or sell. It's not that you forget about it completely, because ultimately when you gain, you know, the trust through the delivery of valuable content, that audience comes back to you, and then you have an opportunity, you've earned the right to then ask them if your solutions are appropriate for them. And so that would be the number one piece of advice I would give, is think audience first in everything you do, from a strategic down to a tactical standpoint.
Now, you hit on an interesting topic there when you said that you need to shift people's mindsets. And so I'm curious to get your thoughts there. I mean, in my experience, you know, marketing is sometimes viewed as something that's sort of secondary, even today. And so what kind of suggestions do you have for people who are content marketers out there trying to shift the perceptions of their corporations or their companies to get on board?
Well, there's a number of different ways that you can do it. And some of the things that we've found is that, Number one, it's not hard to show how ineffective marketing can be. Now, this is a tricky one for marketers to present how ineffective they are,
right?
Especially to a board level person. But the fact is, 99.something% of banner ads never get clicked on, and 99.5% of emails never get opened, and never get clicked on. So, it's pretty easy to show how ineffective the promotional efforts, outbound efforts of some of our marketing is. Obviously, there are some things that are effective. But to show how the reason they're ineffective is because of the large amount of spam and promotion that's out there, and that by taking this different approach and continuing the investment in marketing, so protect that, obviously. But to change the perspective and change the approach to be customer focused. So that's number one. Number two is then to show that how it does come back around. The audience that you're reaching, you're gaining their value, they're gaining your trust, their respect, and that they will come back to you in a much more effective way, a much more cost effective way as customers. And so the cost per acquisition, to get to the math analytical brains of executives, I think there's a business case to be shown there. And then the third thing that I've seen has really worked here at SAP is an analysis of the audience that we're not reaching with our promotional content. It's this early stage sort of nascent audience that's looking to simply be educated. They have a problem, they just don't know what it's called yet, or they don't know what the name of the solutions are that might solve their problem. There's a real opportunity for marketers, for companies and organizations to deliver content that meets those needs and to establish a relationship early on in the buying process that obviously will translate into business benefit later on in the cycle. And so, if you tell a CEO, hey, there's a million people a week or a month or whatever the time frame may be searching on, whatever categories of keywords that might be relevant for your business, and we don't have content that meets their needs, so let's invest, let's focus on that so that we're gaining those relationships and establishing that trust. It's hard to argue, I think, for those three arguments. Those are the things that have worked for me, but I think each business is a little bit different, but those are the three that we've used.
Now, let's go back to your earlier point where you said that the main objective or the main piece of advice you would give is be to focus on understanding what your audience is. Now, for OpenView, most of our listeners are, small expansion stage technology companies. Are there any sort of specific tips that you give to a younger company that's really kind of just getting off the ground and may not have much in place by way of content or even marketing at this point?
Yeah, it's, I would say it's not as hard as you think. And I've been in the position, I've been the head of marketing for, a 30-person firm and a 10-person firm. So I know what it's like to have no content to start with. But what I will say is, well, there's two things. One point is that the social media, the web, and content marketing have leveled the playing field for small companies. And so there's no longer an excuse for a small company to say that they can't compete with large companies because of the channels that are relatively free and because the cost of content has really essentially come down to zero, and I'll talk about that in my second point. Small companies can compete very effectively with large companies than their larger competition. So that's point number one. Point number two about how to get it. When I was in that position, I took content from the perspective of, okay, let's talk to our current customers. And let's, I interviewed them in much the way that you are with me. I asked them some key questions, tell us who you are, tell us what challenges you faced, tell us how you traveled the journey to solve the problems that you had. And then I created a white paper around that. I created a webcast around that. I created a blog post around that. And so I took one simple half-hour conversation with a key customer who was a rabid fan of our product, obviously, and turned that into multiple pieces of content. What I didn't do is I didn't interview them and ask them why they chose us. Now, I did ask them that question, and we did use that, that quote on our website in the testimonial section, but I didn't feature that content in the kind of content that we were putting out in various places, because that's not the kind of content that gets shared. It's not the kind of content, that's the promotional side. And it's good to have those testimonials. It's good to have that evidence in the sales process, but that's not the content I use. So I talked about profiling the customer, understanding, showing that we understood their pains, and then asked them to explain how they navigated the journey. In the end, that's all just very helpful for the prospects we were trying to meet.
That's great. So my last question, Michael, just to go in a little bit of a different direction, you know, some of the big news I saw this week, and I'm sure you did too, was Facebook's acquisition of Instagram.
Yeah.
Instagram and other social media companies like Pinterest weren't really on many people's radars, at least not mine, maybe 6 months ago. Now they're huge and they're everywhere. So I'm curious to get your thoughts as to, number one, how does content marketing need to evolve going forward? And specifically, how does it need to evolve to adapt to these types of new social tools?
It's a really good question. And I'm actually really passionate about Pinterest. And the reason is, you know, I blog and I live in this B2B marketing space, and some of the, which is interesting because part of the platform that I sort of communicate from is that the difference between B2B and B2C, you know, business marketing and consumer marketing has largely been removed. I mean, there's still some elements, you know, the buying process in B2B is still a little longer and more complex and involves a little more people. But the methods and the techniques we use are very similar now, if not exactly the same as what consumer marketing techniques are. And so when a B2B marketer says, oh, Pinterest, I don't see the value, or Instagram, I don't see the value, or if you look at Tumblr blogs, you know, I disagree with them 100%. And the reason for it is that if you look at the growth of Pinterest, if you look at the interest that Facebook took in Instagram, there is an obvious need for people to interact with visual content. And so the growth of Pinterest, the transaction that Facebook undertook with buying Instagram is evidence of that desire at a basic human level to interact with visual content. And so my challenge to marketers, especially in the B2B space, is to think about content in much smaller formats and chunks, and to think about how you can use a picture to, you know, to tell 1,000 words and, you know, to tell the story. And that's what I think Pinterest offers an opportunity for, and Instagram as well. Another side note on Pinterest, it's kind of funny, but when I first got into Pinterest, my wife got me into it, you know, because she was looking at earrings and fashion and other, you know, different things, was that I realized that if I posted a picture on Pinterest from one of my blogs, I was creating an inbound link back to our website or back to my blog site. So these sites are huge opportunities to create lots of inbound links, which, you know, helps from an SEO perspective, helps drive traffic, and forces you to really think from a visual perspective.
That's great. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today. Before I let you go, just one last question. That's just, how can our listeners connect with you if they want to?
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, I invite the audience to please reach out to me. You know, one of the things I've found is that, you know, I've met made tremendous connections and met really interesting people through social connections. So you can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Brenner Michael. Again, that's at Brenner Michael. So it's my last name and first name. I'm also on Facebook and really active on LinkedIn. I'm on Pinterest. And so I invite each of you to connect with me there. I'm involved in three different blogs. B2B Marketing Insider is my marketing blog. I'm a co-founder in business2community.com, which is recently Technorati ranked as the 39th largest business blog in the world, the third largest small business blog in the world. So we're pretty proud of that fact, site for delivering social news. And then I'm the chief editor for SAP's Business Innovation blog, and would invite anyone in the audience to look at those different sites. If you're interested in contributing, please contact me, and or feel free to comment on the content.
Great, Michael. Thanks so much again for joining us.
Thanks. My pleasure.